while Odds Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I've been given the privilege, shall I say, of giving the sermon for today, and our theme for today is Hope is Here. Hope is here. Last week, Saturday, we had our annual remembrance service, and the remembrance service is a time where we remember our loved ones who have passed, and it's an essential part of the service is where we light the candle of hope, and we have our sister Hope from the stewards team who comes along with the candle of hope, and Hope lays hope on the table. It's very interesting during the service, just seeing her doing that. But she lays the candle of hope on that table, and it's there as a reminder to us that in the midst of despair that we can still find hope. And the service brings people together from all walks of life, and we welcome, you know, the community to come along and share in this experience. And we are reminded in that service that even in the darkest moment, there's always a glimmer of hope, a light that guides us forward, helping us to navigate the complexities of life and loss. Now, hope is a common word. It's a very, very common word. It's so common, I remember Emmanuel, just at the age of 3, saying, "I hope so." It's a word that we all naturally understand. It is one of those rare words that has the same definition in every language. Very rarely you find that, even in ancient Hebrew. Hope is outside of the Christian faith. It is an expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. It's natural to us. It is something that comes with us when we're born. We hope. You know, the baby hopes that, you know, food will come when they cry. We hope that when we go to school that we will succeed. We hope that, you know, there'll be good weather in the British summer when you live in the UK. No one teaches us how to hope. It comes as naturally as drinking water or smiling. Now, hope is hope outside of the faith always disappoints because it's founded on unreliable sources, and sources that perish. So, for example, if you plant something, it might not necessarily grow. Hope in a friend sometimes can disappoint. We find friends let us down, parents let us down. Anything that's outside of God fundamentally will let us down whenever or however we might hope in it. Now, the scriptural text for today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. And this passage of scripture is a profound invitation from Jesus Christ to all those who are weary. It is a personal call to embrace his rest. So I want us to look at the scripture very quickly. I quite like the easy to read version. And the Message translation. So we're going to look at both as we go along. So I'm going to ask the media team to put up the easy to read first. And it reads, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke." So is this the next verse? I'm going to read from mine because mine has a little bit more. So verse 28 for me says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired." Is that the easy to read version? Yeah. So I will read the easy to read version whilst the media team find it. And if they find it, they can join me whilst I go along. So it says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired from the heavy burden you have been forced to carry, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who are tired from the heavy burden you have been forced to carry, and I will give you rest." Now, the Message translations read as follows. It says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Now, we often find ourselves caught in a whirlwind of responsibilities and expectations, and the relentless pace of modern life leaves little room for pause, reflection, and genuine rest. And on top of all this, we also, through fear and ignorance, place a heavy burden of spiritual pressure on ourselves when we walk in works and not in faith. So we try to please God by doing several things that we think that he wants or requires of us. So we come to church because we have to. We worship because it's a requirement. We do the things of God out of compulsion and not of love. And when we try to deserve or earn salvation by trying to on our own, we do these things that we think God is pleased with. When we face a difficult situation, for example, we struggle with our faith. We try to figure it out on our own. We choose not to bring ourselves to God wholly or to bring ourselves completely in prayer. We hide from God. And as I wrote this part of the sermon, I was reminded by the scripture where David cries out to God and he says, "Where can I hide from your presence? Even if I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, there you are. No matter where I find myself, God, you are there." God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. He knows all things. Why is it that we think we can hide from him? You know, sometimes we behave like Adam when he sinned. He hid himself from God, and God was looking for Adam and Eve in the garden. And sometimes when we are heavy laden and burdened, we hide those things from God. We go into prayer and we kind of just regurgitate whatever it is that, you know, comes to mind, instead of just coming to God as we are. But Jesus is making this profound invitation. What he's saying is, just come to me, you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Whether it's sin, whether it's depression, brokenness, shame, our failure to please him, despair, our doubt in him, our fears, let us be reminded of the famous word of David. Let's hold on to what he said. He said, "God, where can I hide from you?" And by this, let us be encouraged to just come to God as we are. Why should we hide from our God? Now, Jesus' call to those who are weary is an invitation to come as we really are. When we come to him as we really are, then we can find his presence of peace, and our fears can be overcome by his grace and the hope that he brings. Now, let's look at verse 29. In verse 29, he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the word yoke, I have a picture for what a yoke looks like, and I know you've probably seen it 1,000 times if you are familiar with the word yoke. So can I ask the media team to please put the picture up? And so this is what a yoke looks like. And the yoke usually is used to... It's an agricultural tool, and it's an agricultural word, but in Hebrew culture, it's used in two ways. It's also used to define, it's a symbol, shall I say, it's a symbolic word for burden, for partnership, and for servitude. And you've heard the saying, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers." But Jesus in this passage is calling us to be yoked to him. And the yoke in this particular verse, is basically referring to his teachings. He's saying the yoke is his teaching. And when we yoke ourselves to the teachings of Christ, then we become aligned with him. Yeah, and he can then direct us. What he says is his yoke is easy, his burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. The heaviness and the weariness and the things that we carry, what he's saying is, be yoked to me so that I can carry it for you, so I can carry it on your behalf. Take my teachings, learn from me. So Jesus isn't just talking about a physical load. Rather, he's referring to a spiritual load that we carry, a moral responsibility that comes with choosing to follow him. He isn't just talking about a physical load. He's talking about a spiritual load that we try to carry. Have you ever been in a place where you just feel like, do you know what? This is too much. Life is getting too much. There's no time to rest. There's no time to breathe. With our phones and technology, it feels like we're constantly reachable. We're constantly reachable. I mean, the WhatsApp groups. Sometimes there's demand for you to respond to a WhatsApp group very late at night. The demand is high. Because we're easily so accessible, it's hard to find time to spend time with God, to come to Him, to lay our burdens down at His feet, because we're so busy. There's no time for reflection. There's no time to think. He's not just talking about the physical load that we bear. He's talking about the spiritual load that we bear. When we lack faith, when things are hard and it seems like there's no answer, God is not answering, things are tough, there is no response from Him, He's quiet. He's talking about that load. What He's saying is, come to Me. And it feels like, you know, time and time again, we tell the same lie. Time and time again, we try to be good. Time and time again, we try to please God. Time and time again, we try to follow His law. Time and time again, we try to find ourselves in that safe space where it feels like, yes, we are saved. Time and time again, we try to earn salvation. What God is saying is, no, take on My yoke. Learn from Me. Take on My teachings, because essentially the teachings of Christ is this, is that I've come and I've saved you. There is no longer a need for you to do it, because if you could do it, I wouldn't die on the cross. And the reason why I died on the cross is so I can carry that load. Now, if you trust in Me and in My teachings, and you love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you love your neighbor as yourself, then life becomes easy. And if you fail, come to Me, because My grace is sufficient. And My burden is light. He says, come to Me. It's an invitation from our Lord and Savior. He says, give Me those yokes of societal and religious expectations. Jesus offers something different, a yoke that is light, easy to bear, because it is powered by His grace. Now, verse 30 says, learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitted on you. Keep company with Me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Yes, the teachings that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. When we accept the teachings of Jesus, we discover and experience God's grace and His compassion. And when we find ourselves in a season of despair, whether it's spiritual, physical, it shifts us from our self-reliance to His hope. Tell your neighbor, say shift. Now, reliance on Him and His ability to transform us, to transform our lives through the power of His Holy Spirit, is what we must place our hope in. In embracing this invitation, we come to Him. We learn to be quiet. We learn to quiet the noise and focus on what truly matters. When we come to Jesus with our load, He then deals with what really, really matters. Jesus is our living hope. The basis for this hope that we find in Christ, the hope that we have in faith, the hope that He offers when we come to Him, it isn't based on wishful thinking like worldly hope. It is choosing Jesus and choosing to accept His teaching. That is the hope. Accept what He said, His truth, His word. That is the hope. Trusting that we cannot do it on our own, but He can and He has. Trusting His character. That is the hope in Christ. Choosing Him as an anchor does not end with this life, but it goes on to the next life and then on to eternity. That's the kind of hope that we find in Christ Jesus. That's the hope that He offers when we come to Him. In the book of John 11, through the death of and the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus demonstrates His love for us. He demonstrates this hope to us. He shows us that it's way beyond what we assume. So Jesus is told that his friend has died. He's on the scene, and it's 4 days after he's died. The funeral's happening, and everybody's wailing and crying. And the sister of Lazarus, his friend, approaches Jesus, and she says, "Lord, if you had come, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know you are the resurrection and the life. I know I will see him one day." But Jesus says to her, no, you will see him again. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And I think what Jesus is trying to teach us there is that it doesn't matter whether Lazarus is dead or not, because essentially what he's saying is, beyond death, I am he. I am the savior. I am the king. I am he. I am your hope. You can trust in me. I don't have to resurrect Lazarus. I don't have to heal you. I don't have to give you what it is that you're asking for right now. Because guess what? I did way beyond that. And if you don't have it now, trust in me that you will have it in the next life. That is the hope that he brings. His hope stretches beyond this life. And no one knows this better than Paul. No one knows this better than Paul. Whilst in prison, he encouraged the believers who were outside, telling them to trust in the Lord and to trust in his teachings and to trust in what they were taught and to trust in Christ. Jesus demonstrates through Lazarus for us a full preview of his hope, the hope that we must have in him. The hope that we have in Christ, it cannot disappoint because it isn't founded on us. It is founded on a reliable source. It's founded on God. It's founded on his character. It's founded on what he did. It's founded on a contract he made with us. It's founded on his faithfulness. Hope is a promise we have in Christ. It is greater than our sin, than our ability, than our capacity. It is greater than us. It is here right now in our presence. It's here right now in our present situation. It's here right now in our families, in our communities. It's here right now in this church. It's here right now in your life. It's in your situation. The hope of Christ is here. Hope is here. Just tell your neighbor, hope is here. Hope is Jesus. And he has made himself available to us. He's accessible to us all. Hope is Jesus. He calls us to choose him. He does not impose himself on us, but he gives us a choice. He says to us, come and take. Come and lay. Come and be. Come and learn. Come and rest. He is our living hope. Jesus is our hope, and we can trust in him. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. He who promised, he is faithful."
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.